you're listening to Gaze Gaze, in which we're gay and we gaze into media that's by, for, or about ladies who love ladies. And sometimes we talk about other stuff. My name's Erin, and what the hell is a scruple?
And my name's Erin, and you should call me one of these nights. You know, we can hang out and eat some melons or something.
Hi, and I'm Katie Hoops, and I've always said, if you can't find a friend, make one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Hoops, for coming back. Happy episode 69.
Nice.
No, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, we made it to episode 69. So what a better way to celebrate that than with our best friend, Hoops, and watching a movie about gays.
Yeah.
The G-A-Z-E variety.
Oh.
Gays and gays.
Yeah, both.
This movie has it all.
Oh my god, you're right. Oh, wow. It's episode 69. I should have used the quote, do you have any ice cubes I could rub on my nipples? Missed opportunity.
I forgot that that even was a quote. What scene was that?
That was the punk man who came over to eat jujubes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, we're talking about quotes from today's topic, May, the 2002 horror movie.
Yes, that Hoops suggested.
Yes, I love this movie.
Yeah, now Hoops, what led you to find this movie and to share it with us?
This is a movie that's like always on people's, you know, like recommendation lists. And I think I've seen it, you know, on lists that were like queer horror too. Here's the thing. I did not watch this movie until like, I think like a year ago, maybe longer, but.
Really?
Because it's actually like, it's a horror movie, but it's really not too, it's not really scary. It's more of like a drama.
Yeah.
And of course, it's from 2002, which I love this era of horror movies, even though it's bad, right?
Yeah.
But I watched like the trailer and I was like, ugh, I just like don't know about this. It's like this weird relationship drama with a doll. And it was just not something that I was like prioritizing. And then I finally watched it and I was like, whoa, somebody made this movie for me.
Like... That's fair. For some reason, I had it in my head that you, like, love this movie in high school, and I thought that that's why that you recommended it to us.
No, I had never seen it.
This movie, it has kind of, like, that magical realism bent to it that is in horror, but it's also in, like, the just a campy, scary type of movie. Like, I think about, like, Edward Scissorhands, right? Not horror, but...
Yeah,
like, magical realism.
Kind of similar tonally, almost. And, like...
To Edward Scissorhands?
Sorry, I mean, like, aesthetically, not, like, tonally of the movie, but, like, in terms of, like, the aesthetics and the vibe, I don't know. This was an era for, like, little goth girls and their dolls, I feel like. It was a good
time.
It
was really an era of movies about tough women that are written by men. And I don't necessarily mean that derogatory, but, like, that, yeah. I feel like that is the era.
Yeah, you are right. Quentin Tarantino, what did you do to us?
I was thinking more, like, Joss Whedon.
Oh,
Joss
God.
Whedon. Why was he? Oh my God, you're so
unfortunately.
Right.
The worst. It's not, you're totally right, though. That's the worst part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mention the goths, because in looking for stuff about this movie, I found an interview from Anna Faris, and the interviewer was asking her, like, do lesbians or gay women come up to you and, like, quote this movie to you because you're playing a lesbian character? And she was like, no, but I get a lot of goth guys coming up to me about it.
No.
I believe it.
So yeah, if you ever get to see Anna Faris, you gotta quote this movie to her.
Okay, I'm gonna ask her to eat some melon with me.
Yeah!
Yes, oh my god. Okay, before we get any further content warnings, this is a horror movie. There is gore, there's murder, there's death, there's also medical gore. Stalking is a big theme, cannibalism comes up. Sexual harassment at work, animal abuse, and finally, eye horror. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
A personal least fave.
And pet death, which I had forgotten about.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I added in the medical gore specifically, because I don't know why I can watch something that's horrifically gory, but then as soon as somebody picks up a scalpel in the gore scene, I'm like, whoa, no.
And there's so many scalpels.
There's so many scalpels. I do think, like, gore-wise, I think it's pretty toned down.
Yeah, it's not that bad, honestly. I expected it to be worse.
There's, like, a surgery scene. I had to...
Yeah.
It gives me the ick.
When they, like... veterinarian dropped something in the cat.
Oh my god.
And I was like, what the fuck?
And, no, but then he goes, and oh, she will live now.
Yes. So many good random characters in this movie.
Yeah.
But sorry for the interruption. Tell us what it's about.
Okay.
Tell us.
So May is a socially awkward young woman who lives by herself in a small town. She works at a veterinary hospital, and she spends most of her days sewing her own clothes and decorating her collection of dolls. May has never had any friends in her life, which she attributes to the fact that she's always had a lazy eye, and that's something that she was bullied for by her classmates growing up. And because she couldn't make friends as a kid, her mom had encouraged her to become friends with a homemade doll that she made and put in a glass box, never to take out. And the doll is named Susie. And today, Susie is still May's best friend. This movie is kind of just a peek into her life, really. It's a character study about this girl. And so this is kind of just the foundation that we have. There's not much else about her backstory that we know other than that she lives alone and has a lazy eye. She develops a crush on a local mechanic that she always sees when she's walking to work. And this guy's name is Adam, and he's this tall, lanky man who I immediately thought was Adam Driver. I was, like, convinced.
Oh my god.
That does not surprise me.
Adam Driver's in this movie? And then I realized that he is not.
Aaron just sees a man who's 6'2 and, like, 140 pounds and is like, Adam Driver?
Like, his hair is kind of long, so it's really confusing. I get it.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. Anyway, this guy's name actually is Adam, which also threw me for a loop. And she always sees him around town smoking cigarettes, and he's just dirty and kind of gross, and she's obsessed with him. When her optometrist manages to correct her lazy eye with these special contact lenses, May decides that now is the time that she's going to make her move. Adam thinks that she's very weird, and to be fair, she comes off as very weird, but he likes girls that are weird and socially awkward, so the two start casually dating after this. Pepper, oh my god, I'm so sorry, she's trying to knock down all of my dolls.
Oh no, Pepper, not again!
Not right now.
Pepper raises a good point. We should be talking about the Monster High releases.
Did you guys see the video of Frankie coming out as non-binary?
Yeah.
What? No.
Yeah. There's a music video where all the characters do introductions, and Frankie's lyrics are like, my pronouns are not he or she. I'm proud of my identity. I love to be non-binary or something. Like, it's like insane. Yes. Yeah. My name is Frankie.
It's they for me.
It's always a they for me.
It's always a they for me. Obsessed. I'm obsessed with that. I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, you should. And it's really cute. The animation's super cute.
Oh well, what the fuck were we talking about?
I was giving the summary and I don't remember.
Oh, that's
where
right.
I left off.
Oh god.
May becomes obsessed with Adam's hands, which she thinks are the most beautiful part of him. Meanwhile, May's lesbian coworker, Polly, begins to aggressively hit on her. She really wants to be with May, but it's also pretty obvious that she's a flirt and she just really wants to hook up with her. May is obsessed with Polly's neck because she thinks it's very beautiful. Polly also gives May her pet cat, and she says that her landlord won't let her keep it anymore. And May just takes it. When May's out on a date with Adam, he shows her this film that he made for university called Jack and Jill. And in the film, a couple go out on a picnic date, and it seems like it might turn pornographic, but then the two very sensually eat one another, and May is completely intrigued, and she wants to eat Adam.
Yeah.
And so when they're about to have sex for the first time, she bites his lip really hard, which causes him to bleed profusely, and he gets up to leave, and though she comments, like, it was just like your movie that you made. He's just like very disturbed and leaves the situation really quickly. And May is distraught over this, and she blames Susie the doll because she had asked Susie for advice on how to kiss and how to have sex. And clearly Susie's advice didn't work out for her. So Susie's glass case, when May gets in these stressful situations, it has been like vibrating and shattering very loudly and causing her a lot of distress. So after she does this, you know, the glass starts breaking apart even more. May starts to volunteer at a local school for blind children. Okay. Where a child makes her an ashtray that has her name carved into it. After she splits up with Adam, May starts seeing Polly, and the two of them have a couple of dates, and they have sex in Polly's apartment, which is fully stocked with 1950s diner decor.
Yes, I love it. Polly is an enigma.
Polly makes no sense to me, but I am obsessed with her.
Yeah, same.
But even though she's seeing Polly, May still thinks about Adam constantly. And one night she goes over to his house to talk to him, but before she knocks at the door, she listens to what he's saying when he's having a conversation with his roommate, where he says that he is glad that he's finally gotten rid of May, and she just runs away in tears. After this, she goes to see Polly, presumably for comfort, where she finds out that Polly has just had sex with another girl, Ambrosia, who is known for having perfect legs. May and Polly have never talked about being exclusive, but it really hurts May's feelings, and she ends up running away in tears again. So she goes home, and her cat won't even come when she calls for it, and she throws the ashtray at the cat, and this immediately kills the cat, and it also shatters the ashtray perfectly into three letters of her name, M, A, and Y. Coincidental how this has happened to her. May then takes her doll Susie to the school where she volunteers, and she tells the kids that inside the box is her best friend. The kids scramble to get at the box to see what is inside because they are blind, so they need to touch, right? But they fumble the box, and in this very surreal and dreamlike scene, the children are crawling around through all of the broken glass trying to find Susie. And when they find her, they like tear her apart, and they're all like covered in blood and like screaming.
Yeah.
Yes.
Covered in shards of broken glass.
That scene is bizarre because it's like they just continue to keep crawling all over the broken glass. I don't know. It's like,
it felt like a dream. I was like, this is fake, right?
Very much like, when will this end?
Yeah. Susie is dead. And I thought that this was a dream. But then May goes home like completely devastated, and she has like glass shards stuck in her eyes, and her eyes are bleeding. And she falls asleep with Susie's broken body over her eyes, cuddling the corpse of the cat that she has killed. And the next day, she is sitting sadly alone outside when a young punk man with a fake mohawk and tattoos comes and sits next to her. And they strike up a conversation about life and candy, and she invites him into her house. And she doesn't really like him, but she does think that his arms and his tattoos are very cool. And when he asks for ice to put on his nipples, he finds her dead cat in the freezer. And he freaks out, and he's like, you're a horrible person. He has no context for why the dead cat is in the freezer. He just is like, this is awful. And you can see May have her emotional break where she impulsively kills this man. And this brings a moment of calm upon her for the first time that we've seen in this movie, where she has been very anxiety ridden this entire time. And she says then that she needs more parts. What could it mean? On Halloween, May dresses up like Susie, and she makes some phone calls, sounding disturbingly normal. No shyness in her voice. It's very evident that she has a plan that she's concocting. And she leaves the house carrying a giant cooler. First, she goes to Polly's house, where she sensually slits Polly's throat with scalpels. And then Ambrosia shows up drinking milk in Polly's kitchen. And May stabs her in the head after complimenting her nice gams.
Yeah.
May then goes to Adam's house, where she interrupts his date with his new girlfriend. Presumably they were playing strip poker, which is also so funny.
Wait, were they?
Yeah, and that was my assumption.
I thought they were just playing cards. He was dressed up like Caesar.
Oh yeah, he was.
He was dressed up like Julius Caesar.
Yeah, and he had his little fake knife.
May sits down with the two of them to talk, and she comments that she loves his new girlfriend's ears. She then asks Adam to hold her face in his hands, and he blatantly refuses. And she kills both of them with the scalpels, obviously. When she gets home, she uses yarn from her knitting box to stitch together all of the people's body parts to make a doll. So Adam's hair, hands, the punk guy's arms, Adam's girlfriend's ears, Polly's neck, and also Ambrosia's legs. We do see a human pelvis as well No clue on whose that is.
I think that was an accident. I noticed that too, but it's because like it's wearing almost like a little romper that you made.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's just like pulled up because I think it's a real person in makeup.
Yes.
Like yeah, the body is a real person. Yeah. So I think that was just an accident. But I also noticed the exact same thing.
I always just assumed that it was Polly's.
I did too.
Any other bits that like weren't somebody else's that were could Polly's. Be. But could be. Personal headcanon, I suppose.
Could be either. She also sews a head of fabric that just looks like a burlap bag, basically. Yeah. And she also uses the cat's fur to make hair for her new human doll. And then she takes the broken ashtray and looks at it for a second. And she rearranges the letters from May to Amy, naming the doll. And then she panics because she realizes that the doll would have no way to see her because she has not collected perfect eyes. So it clicks, and she uses a scalpel to remove her one perfect eye, leaving her with only her lazy eye. And she places the eye on the doll's head and begs it to look at her. She then lays on the bed snuggled up to the doll, and it lifts its arm to caress her face with Adam's hands. Insanity.
Ooh, love it. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. 10.5 out of 10.
Well, they did make this movie specifically for Hoops, so.
They literally made this movie for me. Do I like movies about identity? Yes. Do I like them with an existential twist? Yes. I'm here.
Okay. All right. Yeah. What else makes this movie a 10 out of 10 for you?
Oh, I just think it's like a really interesting portrayal of like a young woman, kind of like, what does identity mean to someone who's like been told essentially that you're ugly or you're imperfect, you know, your entire life. And then finally you get this chance to be like what you think you want, right? So she fixes her eye, which like, let's think about it. She's fine with the lazy eye.
Yeah.
Her mom was obviously like passing down issues, especially with like, the doll in the case. You can always look at the doll, but you can't touch the doll.
Yeah.
Anne was part of the reason why May felt so insecure about her eye because the mom made her wear this eye patch, which made her like stick out against the rest of the kids, and was telling her like, be perfect, like don't tear off the wrapping paper from your gifts, like you have to do it nicely. Like, I guess a lot of the beginning of the movie got cut just for time, but they actually like elaborated on May as a child more. And the relationship with the mom in the original cut, but that never made it to theaters.
Yeah, and the one that I've seen, it is very short, but you're definitely getting a lot of information just from these few short scenes. And then, you know, there's like a callback later where Polly, played by Anna Faris, just beautiful, objectively beautiful person. But this character, she has like a mole on her hand, right?
Yeah.
And basically May cannot stop like hyper fixating on it once she notices it. When they're being intimate and that kind of thing. And she asks Polly, like, oh, like, have you ever thought about getting this removed? And Polly's like, my grandmother told me that it's your imperfections that make you who you are, right? Which is kind of like what May
can't accept.
Needed to hear. but can never accept.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, also there is a part of this movie that is... Like, I think it's a pretty broad, like, what does it mean to be finding your identity, especially from, like, the view of other people. But I think this movie can very easily be applied to, like, gender, sexuality. When I first watched it, I was, like, I felt a lot of it resonated with, like, kind of discovering, like, asexuality or, like, demisexuality. Like, what does it mean when you're told all these things versus...
When you figure out what you actually want.
Yeah. Like, I'm a woman. I'm going to date a man. I'm going to... kiss him and have sex with him, but then the reality is you don't necessarily like him, you're just obsessed with his hands, like and this, it's like a completely how would you say it, it's like not that you're putting it on a pedestal, but it's like you're literally objectifying this person, and like they're not a person, they're their hands, they're their neck, they're their
yeah
so it's like you're not connecting on a human level, you're kind of just applying this wrong sense of identity. I don't know. I just think it's a really interesting movie, like, that can be come at from a bunch of different angles. And I also just think it's funny. I think there's a lot of really strange one-liners.
It is funny.
Yes, there's so many good one-liners.
This movie is very quotable.
There's a part in the movie where a man comes into the vet and he's like, I went on vacation and when I left, my dog had four legs. And then when I came back, only three legs. He's like, She won't run. She won't fetch. And it's like, what are you talking about? This is completely unnecessary.
And then, like, 2 days later, he comes back to the vet and he's like, I found my dog's leg. Can you reattach it? And May just looks at the leg and looks at him and looks at the leg again and is like, yeah, I can do it.
Like, I mean, she was just practicing for her big reveal.
Yeah.
She was. So true.
But yeah, this movie's like a black comedy. It's quite funny. The humor was the favorite part of this for me.
Yes. I think it's best that it's not played 100% serious.
Yeah.
And I had one more thought on my rewatch. I think this rewatch, I was like, oh, like, May is definitely like autistic or on some sort of neurodivergent spectrum. And it just like, like, obviously, but I feel like it was a lot more like, you can really see the separation between her and the other people in her life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of want to know what you didn't like about it, Erin.
I was telling Hoops this before we started recording. I watched this movie with my partner and a friend, and obviously this is a movie that has quite a lot to do with intergenerational trauma as well, yes. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Being a movie about, like, May suffering from the shit that her mom not only has put her through, but obviously has also internalized for herself as well, right? And right. Then May attempting to build the perfect creature, but obviously it will still carry all of the traumas that she has inflicted on other people as it is quote-unquote born into the world, right? And then I follow this up by rewatching Titane. What a movie.
What's Titane?
Titane, it got another sapphic one, but also gender. There's
pseudo-incest.
I didn't understand Titane when I first watched it at all until Hoops and I we watched it together and we had an hour-long conversation after we watched it. Literally, no joke, just processing and unpacking everything that we had just watched. The basic plot is that there's this girl who gets in a car accident when she's young, and after that, she develops a fascination with cars and a sexual attraction to cars. And she gets a job as, like, a sexy car dancer at car shows. And she has sex with a car. And mm-hmm. then she gets pregnant with the car's baby. Mm-hmm. And then she murders a whole bunch of people because mm-hmm. she's also a serial killer.
Yep.
And and then she goes on the run from being a serial killer, and she decides that she's going to pretend to be this boy that went missing 17 years ago. So she, like, breaks her nose and shaves her head and, like, pretends to be this man's son. But, like, come to find out, his son was dead all along and he knew. So he just, like, accepted this, like, random woman pretending to be his son as his new son. And then the two of them have a somewhat incestuous son and father relationship.
Oh.
And then she gives birth to the car baby.
The car baby?
And then she dies in childbirth, mm-hmm. and he has to take care of the car baby, and it's his new son.
Wait, did I mishear you? Did you say it's also sapphic?
Yeah, well, the people that she's murdering are, like, sexy women that she keeps hooking up with. So, like...
okay.
I don't... Dude, this movie, it's one of those movies that when you're watching it, it's like, none of this makes any sense. It's also French, so that doesn't help it.
Yeah.
Oh, s'il vous plaît, like mon ami.
Like a fever dream, essentially.
It really does. And it wasn't until after Hoops and I sat down and talked about how it's like, because it doesn't lay any of this out for you. It's a very, like, quiet movie. There's not a lot of dialogue. So you mostly just have to take in the visuals and try to piece it together, honestly. And it's very evidently about, like, experiencing trauma, and then that's all you know, so you're attracted to it because it's familiar, and then you pass that down, right? Because it's mm-hmm. like, she was drawn to trauma because of the car, and that's why she had sex with the car, and then she was drawn to the relationship with the dad because she hated her dad, and
her dad possibly sexually abusing her. But, you know, they truly say nothing. Like, there's really not even that much dialogue in the movie, but it does, like, number one, it's worth watching, period, even though, whatever, it's crazy.
It's gory, it's crazy, it's not for you if you, like, have pregnancy gore fears, so.
I just want to see what the car baby looks like.
It's a car baby.
It was the most disappointing reveal. We were hoping that it would be like a Hot Wheel, right?
Yeah.
No, it's just like a baby with like a metal spine.
Oh, what? Yeah. I was thinking like Lightning McQueen.
Yeah, like a baby Lightning McQueen.
Yeah, I rated it 2 stars after my first watch, and then after my second watch, I rated it 4 stars.
You were like, no. I was like, no, I get it now. Never mind. It's good.
I understand now. But when you're sitting through it, it's like, oh my god, like, why am I watching this? And then at the end, it's like, oh, I kind of get it.
And you're like, oh, I kind of like it.
I feel like I had that same experience with May, honestly, where, like, as I was watching it, I was like, oh my god, this is, like, dragging on, and I'm, like, not that connected. And then, you know, sitting around thinking about it, I was like, oh, actually, there's a lot that I really enjoyed about that movie.
Yeah.
It's just more, it's one of those films for me where, like, the pieces are worth more than the sum of its parts, which I feel like is the opposite of, like, my experience with a lot of movies, where it's like, I don't necessarily enjoy parts of it, but I like it holistically. With this, it's like, I really enjoy all of the different things that it's doing, but I don't necessarily just enjoy it as a single package, right? Like, they're kind of just doing a lot here.
Yes, I think there are things that, like, you are saying something with, like, the blind children's school, but I think maybe in the end cut, like, that didn't really need to be there.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the whole arc with Polly. I really enjoy the theming, and I really enjoy all of the little May-isms, like her doll collection and all the clothes that she makes. Mm-hmm. Like, seeing her wardrobe in every single scene is really exciting, honestly. And I like when she gets her moment at the end of, like, chasing down all of the people who have, like, wronged her.
Yes, and she's, like, so confident. Like, the first time we've seen her.
Yeah.
This confident. Yeah. It was nice.
Man. All right, actually, on that note, I hate this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I saw a fan theory that the point in which May brings in the doll, Susie, and then has the doll break, and then she gets the glass in her eye. After she gets the glass in her eye, like, she's all fucked up because there's glass in her eye, and her eyes are bleeding, and they're all swollen and stuff. But then the scene after that, she looks fine again. And so I guess the fan theory that I saw going around was like, oh, after she gets the glass in her eyes, she has like a psychological break, and then the rest of the movie like didn't even happen.
Oh my god, I hate those theories.
Boo.
It's the fucking Rugrats theory too.
It's
right?
The fucking Rugrats theory.
They've been in purgatory the whole time.
Yeah, it's the May Rugrats theory.
Oh no, you're so right about that. The dark universe.
The dark universe. I like did not even notice that she got glass in her eye. She was just like covered in blood. So you both went in it. I was like, oh, I didn't realize.
No, she was like rubbing her eyes like viciously. Yeah.
I feel like it's up to interpretation because she could be rubbing her eyes for like a lot of reasons. It did seem to me like she got like maybe shards of glass on her hand and then got them into her eye. But
I was thinking like, oh, doesn't she wear her glasses for the rest of the movie? But no, she doesn't. I don't think she wears it when she's in her Halloween costume.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah, because she's cosplaying Susie.
She looked great. She looked amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, my evil take on this movie is, and I don't 100% agree with this, but the ideal way for me to have consumed May probably would have been just watching, like, quotable moments, YouTube highlights of this.
Actually, wait, can someone please make a YouTube poop of May? Like, I don't mean, like, a quotable moments. I mean a straight-up YouTube poop.
A YouTube poop. Ice for my nipples, ice for my nipples.
Jujubes.
Ice for my nipples.
Watermelon.
Yeah, we're literally gonna remix Ice Ice Baby in our YouTube poop, but it's going ice for my nipples.
Who was that man?
Who was that man?
Not an icon, honestly.
Also, by the way, everybody in this movie has, obviously the movie came out 20 years ago. They have all visibly aged, except for that guy. That guy still looks just as young. I don't know what he's doing.
He's like a character actor that just, I'm like, wow, I know this.
Wait,
man.
Wait, who is he?
What I don't know, but he's still doing things. Now, the girl who played Ambrosia, she has dropped off the face of the earth.
Too bad. She had incredible games.
Her gams.
There's a point in the movie where you kind of think that you're only ever going to get to see her legs. Because when she's first introduced, mm-hmm. like, she just pokes her legs out from behind a wall and is, like, doing bicycles in the air, basically.
Yes, just kicking her legs, like, behind a doorway.
Oh, my God. And then the next time that you see her, she's introduced where there's, like, what are those doors? Like, the old-timey Western doors.
Oh, saloon. Saloon doors.
Yeah, there's, like, saloon-type doors, and so you just see her legs, and then she, like, walks out the saloon doors, and you get the whole thing. But hilarious, honestly.
Yes. You know what we haven't talked about is the fact that when I first saw the trailer for this movie, I was like, this is just if you tried to make Amelie into a horror movie. And Hoops was like, no. Hoops was like, no, no, no. That's not the vibe at all. I did
kind of get those vibes.
I watched this and I thought that it was true. I still think that this is if you made Amelie into a horror movie. Yeah. She's quirky. She's weird.
She says, I eat your face when we have sex.
I eat your face. I eat your finger on a spoon. This is a hard disagree. Anyone who has not seen the movie, this is going to be a hard disagree for me. When was the last time either of you watched Amelie?
10 years ago. It's been 10 years since I watched Amelie.
Oh my God, at least I haven't seen Amelie since I was like 5.
Yeah, probably since it like came out. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Amelie? No, but she's a manic pixie dream girl, but murderer.
That's true. That's literally why Adam likes her.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I really wanted to talk about this. Oh my God. Let's talk about Adam just as a character.
All right. I'm ready.
Because he's like his whole thing is like he's like obsessed with Dario Argento and is like, look at my spooky house with my knife.
Look at my horror house.
I made this horror movie, man. It's so crazy.
My favorite scene. You know that scene where they're sitting in the car together on their date and he's reaching through the windshield of the car to eat salsa with tortilla chips? That made Jude and I immediately open a jar of salsa. He sold that.
He sold that salsa.
Yeah, we started eating salsa within minutes.
That scene came out and I was like, is that a jar of salsa on the cover?
on the hood?
On the hood of this old car. But I was going to say, like, in this movie, it's exactly the opposite because he thinks she's going to be just a manic pixie dream girl, but it turns out she's like what he's pretending to be in reality. And he can't hang. Yeah. So
he can't hang.
He's a fucking poser.
That's so true. The second that she bites him and he's like, you're so weird. Get out of my house. Or I'm going to get out of your house.
I'm going to get out of your house.
To be fair, that was one scene that I was like, yeah, okay. Because if somebody fucking bit me during sex to the point where I bled, and then when I was like, oh my God, why the fuck did you do that? They were like, ha ha ha, what if I did it again? I would be like, I need to leave immediately.
Yeah, they have not discussed this beforehand.
Look, he's a lot, but May, she's made of red flags, okay? We know.
It's fair.
When she serves him Gatorade in a wine glass, and she's like, oh, I'll make you macaroni and cheese, I'm like, dream girl.
I saw that. When I saw the wine glasses, I was like, oh my God, Mountain Dew.
I know. It made me think about, this is so fucking random. I'm so sorry. But maybe like 4 years ago now, they came out with that Overwatch cookbook. And one of the things was like Genji's green tea. And Genji is a character from Overwatch. But do you remember the recipe? We were like looking at it and we're like, this is basically Gatorade.
No.
Like, I remember this recipe specifically being like fucked up. So
I'm pulling it up. Green dragon tea.
It's Pepsi that you warm up on the stove and then you add 2 spoonfuls of matcha.
Oh my God, this is so funny. I found somebody who took pictures of every single page of the cookbook and posted it on Twitter. And the publisher was like, hi, we're glad you love the cookbook. We were hoping that people could enjoy these recipes by themselves. Please don't post any more pictures. And they just keep posting. Obsessed. Okay, green dragon green tea. 1 cup of water, 1 green tea bag, 1 inch of fresh ginger root. 1 inch? That's a lot.
Yeah.
Several slices of cucumber.
Okay.
1/2 teaspoon of sugar or more.
No.
2 ounces of sake and an ounce of orange liqueur.
Oh my god.
Why is there so much sugar in that?
And it's supposed to be served warm.
Oh my god. And then the picture of it is completely fucking orange.
And the picture, by the way, is top down. So you don't even get to see the cup of tea. It's like a horrible photograph.
Oh my god.
There's probably detritus in there. All the undissolved sugar at the bottom of that glass.
The Overwatch cookbook looks horrible, I'm sorry to say.
There's probably ligma in there.
it. Now, Mercy's tea.
Oh, have mercy, please.
Is it just wine that you drink out of a coffee cup?
Yeah.
One chamomile tea bag.
Okay.
1.5 cup boiling water. Honey. An ounce of elderflower liqueur,
okay.
An ounce of brandy, fresh lemon juice, and a lemon peel garnish.
That sounds good, but
it's a lot of booze. It's not a lot of tea.
2 shots of 1.5 cups of tea. Well, Aaron is the guy who the first time that we hung out and drank together, Aaron poured raspberry Smirnoff into a cup of unsweetened hot green citrus tea. And I just like lost it when you took one sip and you were like, this is horrible. And I was like, well, yeah, why did you do it?
Not my best moment. I had just made the tea, so I didn't want to waste it. And I also wanted to get drunk.
Man, how come we've talked about everything other than May?
It's such a... Just watch it.
Yeah.
Whoever's out there listening, just watch it. Even if you don't like the main story, I feel like there's enough comedy in there.
Yeah. Also, there's enough to, like, ruminate on. I'll admit, I watched this, and I finished it, and I was like, that was fine. I wouldn't recommend it necessarily, but like the more I sit on it, the more I'm like, you know, there's a lot to chew on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And same with Titan. Just like yeah. Titan. It was a great double feature.
Yes. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be perfect?
What does it mean to not know who you are and to have trauma? Ooh, so true. On top of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that we ask ourselves every day.
Yeah.
Man, it'd be nice to people if they're wearing an eye patch. That's the real moral.
Just be nice to people.
Yeah, that's an actually good moral. I guess that's the other question. How did you read the ending?
Part of me wants to be like, it's real.
Yeah.
I guess in my mind, I'm kind of thinking we're seeing like the cracks appearing in Susie's case are like pretty much a literal manifestation of May's like psyche kind of breaking, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think I've made the decision that I'm like, yes, it's real. This person that she wants so badly to like see her and be able to touch her and know her. Like, I'm like, you know what, May? You did it. You found the secret.
Yeah, I agree. I love the fucking, the whimsy, the magical realness so much more than some kind of like, oh, it's a metaphor. I just, you know what? I want that doll to have been talking to her, and I want Amy to come alive and be her partner and or life partner.
I'd love that for them.
Yeah, I love that for them.
You know how I said earlier that I watched 2 movies about intergenerational trauma back to back?
Yeah.
This got me thinking about the summary that I wrote, and I think that I got something wrong, actually. Because when I said that she stabbed out her perfect eye to give it to the doll, I realized that we watched her do that in a mirror.
Oh.
Yes, I believe she does cut out her lazy eye.
Yeah, when we saw her in other shots, her lazy eye is the one that's on that side. I just didn't realize that I wasn't connecting the dots that we're looking at her through the mirror in the last time and not in the other
time. I missed that too.
Which I also think is just doubling down on the, like, again, passing on your issues to your creations and your children, right?
What if you read it like...
She's finally accepted that it's perfect.
Yes. Something you can accept in another person.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of a way of loving yourself, but in a kind of messed up way.
To be fair, I don't think that she sees her creation as a person either. I think she sees it as all of its parts in an objective way, right?
I disagree with it.
She did name it.
Yeah. And she's like, you will know me. And she's like holding like the heart of the... They call it a zombie in IMDb, which it's a hard disagree that it's a zombie, but...
Yeah, I mean, so much of this, too, is about wanting to be seen, wanting to be felt, and she's trying her best to create that, but she's doing it in a way that is not necessarily going to fulfill that need for her, I don't think.
Yeah.
But also the way that they end it, it's like, you're getting something for your efforts, May.
May, you're getting a little touch.
Yeah.
With this rotting hand.
You're getting what you wanted, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And does it feel as good? I don't know.
She didn't want to date a human. She wanted to be with something perfect, right?
Right.
Yeah.
She was like idolizing the dolls, not really the people.
That is actually a really common theme, to use dolls as a metaphor for perfection.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. And you know, her mom gave that to her in the form of a doll in a case that you can't play with.
That you can never take out.
You can't play with.
So I told Aaron that you guys should watch All Cheerleaders Die as your other Halloween movie. But here's the thing. Aaron, you said you didn't really like May. And yeah. I didn't realize this.
The director is the same.
Yeah, that's wild.
Because I was like, it kind of has the same vibe, but less dark, more fun.
Apparently, there's a scene in May where she's carrying around the cooler and somebody passes her on the street and is like, ooh, you got any cold ones in your cooler? And that character is apparently cosplaying from All Cheerleaders Die.
Oh my god, I didn't even notice. It's
a fun cameo. Yeah.
I love it.
That's cute.
Yeah, the other cameo in this is that the director is the guy that May keeps seeing in the elevator who's making out with his girlfriend.
Oh my god. That's funny.
Yeah. I saw that on IMDb.
I love when she's like coming back from the kids like tearing up the doll and she's like all bloody holding like her fucked up doll and they're just staring at her in the elevator.
Yes. I've heard that All Cheerleaders Die has more of like an almost Jennifer's Body-esque tone to it.
Yeah. It's just All Cheerleaders Die is just fun. Like, I mean, it's literally about like undead cheerleaders exacting their kind of revenge, kind of just like being undead, but that one's mm-hmm. fun. And then my other recommendation was Knife Plus Heart.
Yes.
Which is a lot darker, but a great movie. It's about like a woman who is a producer for a gay porn company. So we get part of the storyline where she's like in love with their editor, so another woman, and it's like her pressing herself back into that relationship when that woman broke up with her. And then also it's like somebody is serial murdering actors from the studio. So it's like half exploitation, half like mystery, French drama. And even if you guys don't watch it for this, like you should watch it. But yeah, now that you're not doing First Kill, which is for the best.
I don't want to talk about, I can't talk about First Kill.
Okay, actually, Hoops, you're here on the podcast, so this is a great time to do this. Do you want to know my extremely hot, piping hot First Kill take?
Did you love it?
No. Oh, okay. But okay, I'm watching Sandman on Netflix right now. Mm-hmm. And if First Kill had the production value of Sandman, I would say that we should do that. I actually think that they're like on a similar level, like story structure wise.
Well, yeah, because it's like very like,
it's like rushed.
That is a hot take. That's a piping hot take. I liked Sandman.
But it's true. If First Kill had a really high budget, which it did not, it had a $5 budget, I would have been like, this is really good and they should make more of it.
I disagree. There is probably one good actor in that cast. It was hard to watch.
The sad thing about it for me is that, like, from the trailer and everything, it gave such strong, like, Teen Wolf vibes.
Yeah, that's all I wanted.
Oh, yeah.
And if it was like that, and if it got another season, and if it was well received, we would do it. But I can't do it for the podcast. Like, y'all know I hate watching TV. I can't sit down and watch a show that I don't enjoy.
People fucking love it on Twitter.
That's true. But people love everything on Twitter. I'm just kidding. People just voted SuperCorp as the number one female ship.
Oh,
instead
what?
Of Utena and Anthe.
They lost? Yeah. Damn.
They lost 54 to 46.
Oh, couldn't pull through. I mean, whatever. I've never watched Supergirl.
It's fair. Fucking Reagan's gonna win if you put Reagan in. Reagan from Mob Psycho. Oh my god.
Reagan x Reagan wins top WLW show.
Don't even joke. He won the MILF poll.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he won the MILF poll.
He did win the MILF poll. I can believe it.
People love SuperCorp, though. I read enough SuperCorp fan fiction for our fan fiction episode that I'm like, you go, girls.
So true.
Aaron knows all about them.
I haven't seen Supergirl. I have zero stake in it. I'm not going to say it's a bad ship, but I do just think it's annoying that the creators, like, are so down on it and, like, clearly don't want it to be a real thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
When there's so much support for it.
Or, like, to be so vocal about being, like, it's never gonna happen.
I know, they were jerks about it.
Oh my god, it's, like, Steric all over again.
It actually is the thing.
No, is it? Yeah, I can easily see where you're like, it's huge in the right circles.
You would Google Teen Wolf and the first thing that would come up is fucking Steric shit. Like, I didn't even know who the main character was.
Aaron thought that Steric was the main character.
Yeah. That was the guy everybody was talking about.
Steric is the guy.
Teen Wolf is about a guy named Steric.
Yes.
Who becomes a wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I choose to remember.
All right. Do we want to finish off the podcast with a fun question?
Yes.
So you have just concocted your Frankenstein doll and you have to name it now with the pieces of the broken ashtray that have each letter of your name perfectly centered on it. What is the name of this creature?
Well, at first I was like, when I do Katie, it's a flat. But what if it was Zoop? What if it was Z-O-O-H?
What if it was Zoop? See, I was just thinking, what if you just left the H out and you made poos with a Z at the end?
What about oops with a Z?
Oops.
Oops. Oh, oops is really good too.
Oops.
Oops.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, I think like I would have to go that way.
Yeah.
Aaron, yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I did cheat because like Aaron and I have the same name, so I used Aaron Fishwife to construct my name. I had them put extra letters on my ashtray, which meant that I got I could do wieners.
Wieners. Wait.
But I think that actually the better one would be Sniffer.
And the saddest part is she doesn't have a nose. Oh my god.
No, don't worry. I will find somebody with a great nose and cut it off for her.
That's so romantic.
Adam Driver.
Adam Driver.
Adam Driver. My final scene of the Aaron movie is me cutting off my beautiful nose to put on my doll.
Okay, yes.
I decided to input my full legal name, which I will not share on the podcast. But imagine a very long full legal name is engraved into my ashtray. I have to go with Weezer. Because I'm setting them up for a life of fucking success.
Yes.
Holy shit.
I've created Weezer.
You just invented Weezer.
I literally just invented Weezer. I'm about to be so rich.
I can't believe you did that.
I'll be able to eat so much pork and beans.
And your doll looks just like Buddy Holly.
And I cannot help but put a pink triangle on her sleeve. Ugh, fucking rip, Weezer.
Man.
Actually, my Weezer is made out of Weezer. I've taken the members of Weezer and I have combined them into one Weezer.
It's just Weeze now.
The Weeze.
The Weeze.
I'm sniffing your Weezing.
Sniffer and Weeze.
Oh no.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And oops. Oops, sniffing and Weezing.
Oops, sniffing and wheezing. Hey, let's go. Shall we wrap this up?
Yeah, let's take us out. Wait, Hoops, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. I'm going to bring you more weird movies to watch.
Yeah, do you want to come back for our next episode?
Yeah, for your Rick and Morty episode. Spoiler!
Oh, well, that's not going to be the next one, but yes.
Spoilers!
Spoiler alert, Rick and Morty.
Yeah, we're going to flip a coin, and if it's heads, it's Rick and Morty, and if it's tails, it's going to be South Park.
I don't think that there are any lesbians in South Park.
There has to be at least one. I'm sure they made horrible fun of her, whoever she is.
Yeah, there's got
to
be like...
Oh! I hate to say it, there's an episode of South Park called D-Yikes.
Oh, no.
I just had this thought where I was like, wait, were there any lesbians in It's Always Sunny? No, there were not. But did you guys know that Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny, who plays Mac, has two lesbian moms?
Does that mean it qualifies for the podcast? Yes, it does.
No.
Next episode, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
No.
I feel like there has to be.
No. Oh my god, there are lesbians in It's Always Sunny. Charlie's mom is lesbians with one of the other moms, isn't she?
Oh my god.
No, they just live together. They're not lesbians.
No, they are. They're fucking.
Wait, really?
I thought so. I thought they go over this in an episode. Well, I think she's like, we're not gay. We're just having sex and we love each other or something.
Okay, that's plausible.
I just can't believe that there was lesbian sex in Rick and Morty. This is kind of like a news update episode for us, honestly. Like, what have we been watching this week? What's going on in the news? Monster High, the Twitter poll, and now fucking Rick and Morty had, there was lesbian sex in Rick and Morty this last week. It's been a big week for lesbians.
It's a big week for lesbians.
It's been a huge week for lesbians.
Thank you so much for listening. If you feel like it, you can follow us on Twitter at GaysGays. That is where you're going to find our poll for next week asking you if you want us to do Rick and Morty for our next episode or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
It's not going to be next week. We have another horror movie to do.
It's happening next week.
It's going to be a Rick and Morty sweep.
I'm going to do it. You can't stop me.
All right, we'll put
Rick and Morty forever.
We'll put Rick and Morty on the poll, but we are going to put actual horror movies on the poll too because it's fucking Halloween.
Oh my goodness.
But also I do just want to get drunk and talk about Rick and Morty for 2 hours, so.
That should have been the 69th episode.
Or... Oh, fuck. We've missed our opportunity.
Are you kidding me? Oh my god. I'm gonna make this episode 68.5.
Yes. Oh shit, yeah, yes. Let's go. If you think that that's a horrible idea and you really don't want us to talk about Rick and Morty, you can email us at aaron@gayscase.com to send us your Rick and Morty thoughts, ideas, or other recommendations for literally anything else. Please save us from ourselves.
You're inviting a lot.
Aaron, do you remember when for like 10 episodes in a row, we begged people to send us a picture of Pickle Rick on email?
Oh God, we did do that.
And then one of our friends drew Pickle Rick as Harley Quinn and sent it to us after the Birds of Prey episode so that we would stop talking about it.
Or because he loves and appreciates us.
Yes.
I think it's, I think
one
it's
or the other. Anyway, if you email us at aaron@gayscase.com, we will send you the picture of Pickle Rick.
No. We will send you a mystery attachment. You don't know what it's going to be.
Spoilers.
Is it going to be a picture of Pickle Rick? I don't fucking know.
Why is this so off the rails?
I don't know. This whole episode has been wild, but...
I'm so sorry. All right. Many thanks to Kate and Leslie of Neon and Nude for allowing us to use their songs Look in Love and You Pretty Thing as our intro and our outro music. You can and should buy their album at neonandnude.bandcamp.com, but you can also stream it on Spotify. Do we know what we're doing next week?
No, we're doing a poll about it. Oh my God.
I thought that you didn't want to do that.
No, well, we talked about it so fuck much it. That we have to now.
I'm putting this clip up online immediately.
Put it up with the poll. When you make the poll, put in knife plus heart or whatever.
Okay. And then the fourth option is just going to be Reagan, yes, from Mob Psycho.
Can't do that because he'll win. You can't do that.
You're gonna have to change the Twitter password. I'm gonna fucking do it.
You can make a second poll that's just for Reagan.
Can you guys do a whole episode about
Reagan?
Why lesbians love Reagan?
No, because I don't like Reagan.
You don't?
I don't like Reagan. No.
Tell me extremely specific reasons right now. Go.
I don't like men that think that they can do things. I don't like people who lie.
Wow.
I don't like...
Describing his character journey.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I didn't like Mob Psycho, so...
Wow.
I'm so sorry. I didn't... I only watched season one.
Oh.
Wow.
I didn't go back for season two because I didn't like season one.
You didn't like it? Aaron's... I'm bullying Aaron. Aaron is canceled right now. I just want all the listeners to know Aaron is canceled.
That's fine.
All right, tune in next week. It's me and Hoops. We're doing Mob Psycho 100. We're doing Reagan. We're just gonna go through all the Twitter polls and tell you why it's actually good that Reagan won them, including the MILF poll.
He does have MILF energy. No, he doesn't. I'm sorry, I said that. Okay, sign us off. Somebody.
All right. Anyway, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Aaron.
Goodbye.
Oh my god, I'm canceling you. I was trying to think of a fun May quote to take us out, but I couldn't think of one.
Oh wait, I got so many.
ice cubes on her nipples. Let's go.
Oh, ice cubes on the nipples. Nipples, nipples. Because it's the YouTube poop.
Okay. We're done here. But we're this episode. And goodbye.
Goodbye. Wait, we're not going to do our sign off.
Touch my face.
No, not now.
Somebody touch my face.
Goodbye.
Somebody touch my face. All right. Fuck. We're all gay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.